Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 281 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my Talk Franklin conversation with Town Administrator Jamie Helen and Marketing Communications Specialist Anne-Marie Tracy. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. During our conversation, we talked about reopening, making progress without major issues. The Finance Committee budget hearings continue. Town Council meeting coming Wednesday with the state delegation present, Senator Spilka, Senator Rausch, and Rep. Roy, followed by the Franklin Downtown Partnership meeting on Thursday with similar representation from the state delegation to discuss reopening from a business focus. We also close with cultural comments about Dave Matthews and other bands doing live streaming events during this pandemic period. The Dropkick Murphys were streaming out of Fenway Friday night with a special appearance by Bruce Springsteen. The recording runs about 42 minutes. So let's listen to my conversation with Jamie and Anne-Marie.
This is Steve Sherlock for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR at FM, and 102.9 on the radio dial in and around the Franklin area. Today, again, another weekly session on Talk Franklin with our Town Administrator, Jamie Helen, and Marketing Communications Specialist Anne-Marie Tracy. Good afternoon, and how are you doing, folks?
Doing great, Steve. Good to be with you.
We're all good, Steve.
Excellent. So we've been continuing the conversation pretty much on the reopening and the steps, et cetera. At this point, a week in further from Memorial Day, things seem to have been going pretty well. I haven't heard any significant problems. But at least from my side, I'm assuming they're okay on your side.
Yeah, I think generally, I think actually overall, I think Franklin's done very well. Anne-Marie and I will drop a couple of statistics at you in a minute. But I think overall, I mean, in the last 10 weeks, cumulatively, I think the town of Franklin's done exceptionally well. I think the reopening the last couple of weeks has been great. Obviously, we were a little ahead of the curve with the library. We were doing curbside takeout, a couple weeks before the governor even put out regs, which isn't us being rebels. It was just more that, we figured we could really do it safely and had a really good plan. Our workplace minimum standards that I've set are actually higher than the bar is much higher than what even the governor's mandating us. And we're doing temperature checks. We're doing the questionnaires in all of our buildings. Some still don't have employees in them because they can do their work from home, but remotely. And we're not overdoing it. We're complying with what the recent standards were. The municipal building has 25%. We're adhering to all of the office standards. Our point of contact is, of course, we're very lucky to have the drive-through, which everybody knows, and there's been a line around the building. Today at the department head meeting, the treasurer collector was saying there was just a consistent stream of people coming up, which is really great, I think a lot of things like that provided a lot of additional value, obviously, to the community and kept things moving. But what we also have been doing is getting ready for June 1st for a curbside cafe at the senior center.
Right.
I will note that the first week's going to be a little trial and error, see what the demand is. We need to work a little bit better to get the online payment features up and running. But what we've seen, Steve, and I think this is, you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
No.
In the sense that even Anne-Marie, who's in the town hall today because Alicia has the day off, she's doing the temperature controls and questionnaires on the building. Alicia's been doing this for 3 weeks for the municipal center staff, and she's adapted the procedures a little bit and made it a little bit more efficient, and it's changed up how we started from this. And I think what you're going to see in the community is that when the governor begins to open up restaurants and more retail and starts to continue to hit phase two, hopefully in a week, I think businesses and residents have to be aware that the minute everybody opens is not going to be perfection. This is going to be a changing game. We're going to continue to adapt. both in the community at the business level, but also for the town staff. We're going to continue to watch the numbers. We're going to watch the data. We're going to watch the trends. And we're going to see what works and what doesn't work. And we're going to make sure that all of our agencies use the best practices that everybody found. I will give a shout out on the reopening to the fire department, the paramedics, Lori Roy, Billy Blanchard, our infectious disease control team that's been headed by Lori for well over a decade. There's no words to really say how great they are. And they've been doing all of this throughout at the fire department. And they've just been able to give us such incredibly great advice to how we can integrate the rest of the municipal operations safely. So huge kudos to our paramedics for helping every department. When we've gone and done individual department temperature checks, questionnaires, screenings, all the things that we should be doing, making sure everybody's got the proper amount of hand sanitizing. So all the stuff that's in the mandatory workplace standards, the paramedics have been there with our staff. We've got a point of contact in each building. That point of contact is the only individual and there's a backup, which is in this case is Anne-Marie, but there's always someone there, two people in each building to know what the protocols are. And the paramedics have been there since day one with us, making sure all the staff know what to do. Big time team effort. So we're looking at having the curbside cafe at the senior center on Monday. It'll be a work in progress. We'll continue to adapt as we move forward. I can tell you the menu looks phenomenal. I mean, we're not just getting a couple pieces of bread with a piece of bologna in the middle. This is Paul Ledworth down there doing like turkey gobbler sandwiches.
The sandwiches look delicious.
Oh, you already saw them? Yeah, they have like some, they're fooling with the website a little bit. So the menu is probably a little early, but Ruben, they got all sorts of stuff on the thing. It's like, you know, it's just unbelievable. And we were able to get, I would be remiss if I said that Aaron Rodgers got a $5,000 grant from the Metro West Health Foundation to begin this.
Right.
So our new senior center director in the fall is already stepping up as she has been for many years. And the council on aging did donate $15,000 from an earlier donation gift to the town. That will take us through October. And then we'll reassess and over the summer. And, you know, my guess is that demand might be high at times. So something that we'll put the funding for to do. So reopening's been going well in town. I think the next big shoe to drop, as we were just talking off air, the restaurants and hotels. It's going to be a slow integration. But as we are on this call right now, and if you're listening to this, you now already know, because it's already been probably on Franklin Matters and in the newspapers. But it looks like on June 8th or at some other time to be announced, the governor's going to start to reintegrate the restaurant industry back out there. So, you know, it's good. It's all a good message. And the final thing I'll say on my opening comments here is the town of Franklin currently has 22 cases of COVID that are being monitored by our Board of Health. And in those cases are currently in isolation. We've seen the numbers drop in terms of total cases. Obviously, as folks probably watch the statewide numbers, it's been no different in Franklin. Anne-Marie has been doing a great job checking the data. And we've been monitoring, Steve, communities over 30,000 in population.
Yep.
And the town of Franklin has had the second lowest infection rate of all the cities and towns in Massachusetts that are over 30,000, which, you know, there's a lot of factors in that.
Sure.
But for any community our size and our density, to be up there at the top of one of the lowest infection rates for the town our size is a testament to all the residents for banding together and doing the right thing. A shared success story thus far. We hope that trend continues. As I said last week, Steve, now's the time where we cannot be complacent and just start having gargantuan big yard back barbecues. Let's go out to all the restaurants and be at the bars.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Nobody wants to have more fun than me. But we need to make sure that as we go down the road here and as things start to loosen up, which it should, because the numbers are what they are, we have to ensure that we do not become complacent. And actually, I think we need to be even more diligent than we have been, because now we're back to interacting again, which is exciting and great. But at the same time, this is where the unfortunate, unforeseen circumstance happens that we don't want to have happen. And we're trying to prevent, most of all, any one of our businesses in town or the town hall from becoming the next hotspot of one person didn't know they had it, now nine people have it. And now we have to go on quarantine for 2 weeks and contact trace and all that stuff. It's just the path of least resistance here is unquestionably the workplace minimum standards the governor laid out last week. And we just hope that every citizen keeps up the great work, and we hope that they still adhere to the face coverings, washing your hands, all the diligence that you go through with personal hygiene. And hopefully, as I said to your show a few weeks now, Steve, hopefully by the time we get to the 4th of July and in the early middle part of the summer, you know, I think hopefully the state of Massachusetts is in a position to start getting back to some sort of new normal.
Yeah, and I think the two key pieces are reinforcing there. Clearly, the people of the town, as well as the town employees, kudos to them for doing that. Kudos as well. Certainly, I'll echo your point on the fire department and police department. That was one of the key pieces in the budget hearing Wednesday night, that between the two departments, fire department had no cases, police department had one. So that's roughly 100 people, and they're at the front line in service of us, and they only had one. So that's kudos to the process they're doing to have done that and still provide us the service. So yeah, it's working. We just got to stay there and then maintain that new normal. The new normal is the distancing, the mask as required, gloves when necessary. You know, we can't slip, and it's going to be easy to, but we need to really get into that new normal.
The temptation's going to be there. I've had it once or twice. It's hot outside. It's humid. All of a sudden, like late July came flying in after like snow at the beginning of May. And, you know, you're breathing, you got glasses, you know, it doesn't, you know what I mean? It the temptation is going to be there from all of us. Oh, human nature.
Absolutely.
To cut the corner. You know, just not right now. You know, I'm too hot. My glasses are fogging up, whatever the deal is. And I just think that that's something that you know, is going to be really important for all of us to, forget what town we live in and whether we're staff or, you know, TA or superintendent or whatever. It's really just incumbent upon every single person to try to do the best they can do, and try to be better than yesterday. And so some of these messages will be reinforced, I think, on June 4th. I'm really happy that Lisa Piana and the Downtown Partnership Board have put together a great agenda, which deserves a good plug, Steve. I think it's 8:30 via Zoom call. Senator Rausch is going to be on that call.
Okay.
Representative Roy is going to be on that call. Senator Spilka's office is going to be on that call. And which is great, because on June 3rd, the evening before, at 7 p.m. at the town council meeting, Senator Spilka and Representative Roy and Senator Rausch are going to be on that call as well.
Right.
So for a good 24 hours, the public is going to have, and business owners for the partnership is going to have some access to their legislators to hear what their vision is from the Hill, where they currently are at, where their positions are at, and opportunity to interact with them. And obviously we're very grateful and fortunate to have Senator Spilka, not only as our state senator, but she was a Senate president. And so with that comes another level of leadership that hopefully the town of Franklin can tap into and know where the future lies here. So, you know, the town council meeting, June 3rd, 7 o'clock. There's the Zoom links on the town calendar where the legislators will be there. And then on June 4th, next morning at 8:30 on the Downtown Partnership. I think at that meeting, we're going to be getting into the restaurants now that the governor is going to announce something today, which will be exciting.
Sure.
And it's also an opportunity for us to introduce a little bit more formally Kathy Liberty, our health director, who I know, Steve, you've had on your show numerous times over the last few months.
Yep.
And she's gotten a lot of interaction. I joke with her, there's nothing like a pandemic for as your introduction to get to know everybody in town, but Kathy has just been, I've seen her more on Zoom than I have in the office. She's so new to the department. And I just, she's just, we just got really lucky to be able to hire her. She's been phenomenal working with people.
Yep.
She's not always going to be the most popular person every minute of the day, but this is going to be an opportunity for her, Steve, to also talk to the business owners in downtown and the members of the partnership about her philosophy as a health agent, her experience, and obviously to be there as a resource to answer any questions that any businesses may have. So again, I think a couple of positive meetings coming up this week to help continue this narrative that we've been having on your show of trying to get out the message on how to reopen.
Right. And I think with anything, I'll credit myself for having some foresight by spending some time to focus on the Board of Health once I started retiring. So I think the next session that Kathy and I have to record will actually be tipping the scale in terms of virtual meetings versus in-person meetings.
I think there's a little Zoom fatigue going on. Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Totally.
I actually was fine with this for a while. There was some benefits to it.
There are some benefits, absolutely.
And I think you're going to see hybrid stuff here moving forward with everything, where we're now going to have a lot more choice and balance on how to conduct our business. But being in the municipal building myself recently, much more in the last few weeks, I miss everybody, and I think everybody misses everybody else. And
definitely. I mean, I'm here now, and because Alicia's off, and I had my mask on, and everyone was so great with the procedures in the morning. But it's so nice to see people even behind their masks and have a conversation with them rather than just seeing them on a screen. So yes. I think people are very ready for some safe interactions.
Yeah. Well, we've said that in a couple of places, probably here amongst others. I know I've said that as much as the social distancing is important to have that space, we can't forget that social piece is really critical. I mean, we're all social beings. We have to have that interaction. So we just need to do it carefully, obviously.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think to Anne-Marie's point, I mean, there's an article in the Boston Globe about this morning. I mean, I think that I look out there, and wherever I go, I will admit, I came to town last weekend on Memorial Day. My wife and I went out for a drive to get out of the house, and I decided to drive around the parks, because we just opened them up.
Sure.
And my wife said something to me. It was funny. We were driving around, and it was like there was literally not one person on the sidewalks, the common, Daisy, any of the parks, King Street, the high school, every single person that we saw was adhering to these standards. And I think most people are doing a really, really good job. It's not about being perfect. It's about trying to do the best you can and be better than you did yesterday. And I think that we're really doing a good job of that. And I think the citizens, everybody should be commended on that. There's always going to be a handful of people that are going to go the opposite direction. It's just it's the nature of crowds, probability. Any algorithm will show you that. And it is what it is, right? And there's procedures that are in place to deal with that. And one of the things that I have asked the Board of Health to address is, I do think as we phase in more here, one of the questions we expect very frequently, and I'm hoping that Kathy will put out some advice on this. I had the chance to talk to her this morning about it, along with Anne-Marie, is if somebody decides to come in my business and demands that I'm not going to wear a mask, what does the local business owner then do? That sets itself up for some confrontation. And I think that while the governor's regulations make light of that, I think enforcement of it and how you handle it at the local level is more challenging. So Kathy will be talking about that in the course of the next week as well, because it's something that her and I have both received a ton of phone calls on.
Yeah, the rubber is going to meet the road, specifically in that local place, and certainly on a broader one. It's also come up, and you've probably seen it in some of the articles too, but the MBTA, right, and the way the regulations are, and with the HIPAA regulations, if somebody says they've got a medical issue as to why they can't wear a mask, they really don't have much choice at this point because of the HIPAA regulations. They can't really get into the details. And that realistically, at some point in time, somebody's going to have to resolve, and it's certainly going to be done at the top level and kind of filter down. But getting some of that local guidance here, and I know you've already talked, and Kathleen and Chief Lynch have talked about having a close collaboration on those events. And I've already heard through some of the businesses that have called on them when needed. Unfortunately, not frequently, but they've been responsive, and fortunately people have accommodated accordingly. So yeah, it's an issue. Let's hope it's not too big of an issue.
And I just think it's the exception, not the rule.
Agreed.
I don't know what, you know, you want to make up a number, you know, I don't want to say 99%, but I got to think that well over 90% of the people I see, you know, well in excess of that, are really doing a good job. You know, I will admit, you know, I get in my car, I dangle it around my ear, I leave it there now, right? And then I get out of my car, I put it on, I sanitize the hand, I try not to touch door handles as much as possible. You
right.
know, you do, you know, least the impact. You know, and as we've talked about the show before, I was a huge avid backpacker. I'm very low maintenance.
Yep.
You know, traditionally, and I'm very low impact. You know, I pack in what I pack out, you know, pack out what I pack in, all this different stuff. And
yep.
Just being able to go up, you know, you just try to do, like in the town hall, another quick example that we've done, Steve, is we've opened up all the doors with door stops. So inside the building, staff
so you don't even have to open the door.
Opening up all the doors.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's a simple thing.
It's simple stuff like that. You know, air conditioning is going to be a very big challenge for a lot of people. You know, it's something that I think will be spoken of and will be centered on quite a bit more in the next few weeks about the dangers of air conditioning and the circulation of air and the virus. And so this is, again, a constantly evolving situation. I think most people are doing a really good job of it. And I think that's reflected in the numbers that Anne Marie's been looking at in terms of Franklin being one of the least infectious communities of our size in the state of Massachusetts. So hopefully we can continue that trend going. The data, we say this as a factoid, Steve, and again, Amory will put out a spreadsheet probably in another week and a half, but more of a visual. But, you know, the point is not to take the foot off the pedal. We don't tell you Franklin's doing a good job so we can go out just let it loose. We'd say that to encourage people to quadruple down with their family, their departments, their contacts, to say, we're doing the right stuff. Let's not give up now. We need to be more diligent than we have been ever.
Yeah. It's working and it's worth it.
It's working and it's worth
it. Yeah, absolutely.
And if we want to get to that next step, we have to continue this way.
Yes,
yeah, exactly. And for people like us, all three of us I can speak to, you know, we want to go back to concerts someday. You know,
yeah,
we want to
sure.
go back to we want to go back to bars, right? Like in terms of like sitting at the bar, which we're not going to be able to do given the government's regulations. And you know, as I said, I got my hair cut this week, and it felt good to be part of, you know, a salon where there was other people, and you could see your friends again, and you felt like you were part of a movement of people trying to get back to what we have.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Indeed. So busy week next week. And I know we had a short week this week. So Anne Marie, it looks like the spotlight's still in draft. We don't, but you're working on one that's coming.
I am working on one. It's in draft form. The next one that's coming out is going to be on the town clerk's office. I won't give you much more information than that because
that's
we want to
okay.
have all the, you know, keep all the good information
sure,
for when it's
just
released.
A teaser,
but,
you know,
the mystery. Teaser.
That's
the mystery.
That's who's coming. So I've spoken to Teresa and Nancy, and you know, they're just great. It was so nice to talk to them and catch up. I have missed running into them, so it was a great way to catch up and see what they've been doing. So you can look forward to that coming out. It's close. It's just not done.
So, That's fine.
Early next week.
Yep. And I think I'll put a plug in for those who happen to be listening now in case they didn't hear the budget meeting the other night. The town clerks both will be looking for additional poll workers. We've got the primary in September, the election in November. They will need additional people at this point in time to help them process those two elections. So if your spotlight doesn't have it, I know we'll be sharing out the link. Just in case, that's another teaser, plug. That's all.
It's a great teaser, and it's a great plug because we did add in, budgets fluctuate every year. People look at the bottom line, but some things go away, some things get added, and obviously this year we had to have a little extra money in the accounts to make sure they had what they needed to run these incredibly important elections, as well as the census.
Sure. And then the other piece that's happening next week, graduation for the virtual seniors, somewhat in process. There are still details being worked out, but there will be something of a Panthers on parade and then a video broadcast later that day.
Yeah, so June 5th was the original graduation date set for the class. So they are keeping that date. Everyone had it on their calendars. And between the class officers and the faculty administration, a lot of departments around town, they've been working very hard to put together a commencement that honors these kids in the best way that we can right now. So obviously the amount of work that has gone into this is tremendous. And there's still a lot of details that are not quite completely ironed out. So I'm hesitant to give any information, but as soon as everything is set, we'll be certainly sharing because we want the community to be able to come and cheer these kids on and celebrate their accomplishments. So.
Absolutely. I know the Franklin TV radio gang has been busy scheduling. There's a bunch of video sessions scheduled next week to do all the pre-records, etc.
Yeah, they're a huge piece of this. Franklin TV has huge part of what's happening. Yep. So yep. We're very grateful to them.
And now we're planning for the live broadcast via the radio of, kind of the visual of the parade. So that'll be fun to do.
Definitely. I think it's going to be, obviously there's things that are not happening, but there's also some things that are new. And I think watching the kids and having the whole community to be able to participate in celebrating them and their graduation is a great addition to a graduation ceremony. I know there's kids out there who've already started decorating their cars.
Yes.
and really preparing for what they want to do when they're out there on the parade. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a really nice, positive thing for our community to focus on.
Indeed, because while the ticket to get into the gym had been the hottest ticket in the world, I think along one of the three parade routes is going to be a lot easier to find, so you'll be able to participate that way.
Absolutely. I mean, in years past, we've seen all the trading going on online. I have an indoor ticket. I need this ticket. I need I need an auditorium ticket. And there's no worrying about that this year. So everybody can participate in any way that they see fit.
And then pull up the popcorn for the broadcast Friday night.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just really quickly on all that, I just have to say, personally, I wasn't a big, I just, when I graduated high school, it was a big deal, but I just, wasn't something that I, really thought much of. And I think following in my weekly conversations with the superintendent and, this is an incredibly challenging endeavor to go on. And last week, the state released some state graduation guidelines. It may seem that, the school district just kind of did what the state told them to do. But the truth of the matter is I hope folks out there who are listening to this really realize how much effort and time the Superintendent Ahern and her staff put into working out every option that was available at some fairly exquisite ideas at how to do a graduation. And the reason why I think that's really important is, some people in towns have had these debates about participation here now, maybe in August, and her theme of how every child is graduating should share in this experience, and how every child should be commended for their achievement. There was a point in time, and I think it's still happening, but for her to personally have a photo and congratulate every student, I think speaks to the tremendous care that the superintendent has in sharing what she believes is an incredibly important and life-changing achievement, as it should. We all kind of hopefully look back at times and go, wow, we were really lucky. I went to a good high school, right? And I did that. I grew up in a very low middle-class family. Nobody had ever been to college in my family before. I was the first one to go, and I sure as heck wasn't thinking about college at all. But because of the surroundings I had in the high school that I went to, it just lifts you up. And something that I admire tremendously about her, it's easy to punt on something like this or to kind of do exactly what everybody else is just going to do to make it easy, right? And she was spending a tremendous amount of time and thought, which I thought is something that people should really be honored and respected to do, to put that much time into how important this is. And so I hope that one of the things that does come out over the course of the week is the tremendous amount of commitment that the school department has had towards making this as an honorable and big deal as it should be. I've just been able to see that behind the scenes. Anne-Marie clearly
has been very
involved in this, but at her level of engagement and dedication to it, given all that's on her plate and Lucas's plate, and Joyce's plate, something this community should be very, very thankful for. And obviously I'd be remiss if I didn't congratulate every high school graduate this year and all of their families for something that is a set of skills and circumstances that should really be a situation that helps strengthen the trajectory of all of these kids as they begin to go on to a new life.
Yeah, it certainly is the start of a lifelong learning experience, really.
Yeah. I mean, I was listening to somebody the other day and, there's different, everybody's having a different reaction to this, right? They're in high school. Some all want the graduation. Some are making up creative ways. Some don't really care. Some are upset that this happened to them, some aren't. But I think the emotional intelligence, the problem solving ability, the recognition that sometimes this is how life works, is in a lot of ways, going to make all of these kids, a lot more prepared for what's to come. That the three of us certainly know what's coming in life, right?
We wish we knew.
We know a little bit more now.
When you're 18, what's coming.
When 18, you really don't know. True. This is the way it works. And I think that, fortunately they're not able to have a traditional graduation, but I can assure everybody, it'll be one of the most memorable experiences they'll probably have. And it's certainly one that will be a talking point for the rest of their life. This isn't just a graduation that everybody else gets. It's very unique.
Yep. And they helped devise it. So that in itself is key.
Yep, yep. Absolutely.
So we usually touch on something cultural as well. And certainly the graduation, there may be less parties. I know the all-night party is not happening this time around, but there may be some other cultural things. I know today, at least Friday, the Dropkick Murphys are playing. That'll probably be available for a replay if people haven't caught it in time. Anything else on your playlist, so to speak?
Well, it's funny you should ask. I mean, it's about the live stream. Steve, I don't know, I just made this up a couple of weeks ago, right? But, you know, one of the things that's been fun, and, you know, last week we talked a little bit about country folks, but Margo Price, but the Dropkick Murphys, I think, added Bruce Springsteen to that. I saw on a headline this morning.
Okay.
Yep. So people should tune in for that. And I think the idea of the live stream is fascinating. One of the things that I've really tried to enjoy here or there is a lot of, which is for people like me that are a little geeky about this stuff, it's been a lot of fun here or there, is Anne-Marie and I've declared, or I've declared for us that we're Gen Xers. And so
we are Gen Xers.
And so it's been fun to go back to the MTV generations a little bit, and even grunge and whatnot. And one of the fun things that's happened, I've seen from a lot of rock bands and even the Boston Pops and many others, is this replaying of old concerts. We talked about this with sports a little while ago, right? I mean, some of the old games to
sure.
watch,
yeah,
which are fun for those of us that went to the Boston Garden a lot, you know, to get all that little nostalgia. I haven't overdone it because I haven't had a lot of time, but it has been fun to look at some of the videos of you know, the old Boston Garden. You know, obviously the Red Sox in 04, and have been able to catch some of it here or there. But also, this week's plug a little bit is for Dave Matthews Band, who, you know, I saw probably way too many times back in the day. You know, saw him in as small of a club as Avalon, people may remember in Boston.
Okay, yeah.
Like 400 or 500 people, and seen him many times in stadiums of 70,000 too. But he's created a drive-in, the Dave Matthews drivein.dmb.com. And they're showing kind of some old concerts that were some of the fan favorites, which has been really fun. You know, the band Radiohead has a Radiohead public library.
Right.
You know, bands like Metallica, Sonic Youth. You could go into small bands, big bands. They're all out there doing a lot of cool stuff. Bruce Springsteen, I think, has released a couple of old shows. You know, whatever people's flavor are, whatever genres they are, I hope folks are tuning into their favorite artists and going on. In a lot of these cases too, Steve, why it's really cool is they're making donation contributions to all sorts of different COVID-19 relief efforts.
Correct.
And kind of like the Margo Price concert that we mentioned last week. And for folks who may not know Margo Price, that's okay. But for folks that you know Bruce Springsteen, don't tell me anyone doesn't, or Dave Matthews Band, don't insult us, Anne-Marie.
Yeah. So
you
no,
don't know Dave Matthews Band
I've been
is.
To a Dave Matthews concert, right? And when I was at one when I was in college. They played at Penn State.
State
so.
College, right?
Yeah, they did.
So I mean, they were one of the ultimate bands in our age bracket, right, Anne-Marie? That
absolutely
the college circuit pretty hard, and
yeah.
obviously had a lot of huge hits and whatnot, and. You know, people may not like all the bands that, you know, we're talking about or whatnot, but, you know, people should just go out and check out who their favorite artists are in country or rock and roll or anywhere. They're just doing some cool stuff, and I think it's nice to see some of those acts that are already well rich enough to be using a little bit of what they're doing to try to generate some revenue for various causes around the country. So DMB drive-in, you know, I don't have the website right in front of me, but it's been a lot of fun to check in on some old stuff there.
Yeah, my Dave Matthews story, actually, while we were at the food pantry, so between, I think it was probably 11 or 12, he was coming to Great Woods or whatever it was called at that time.
Yep.
And he reached out to us because he found us on the social media. And he said, we want to offer you to bring a table in so that we can have people, you know, help collect donations for you. And it was like, sure, we'll do this.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why they added him to the bill of Farm Aid. You know, I mean, it was a Willie right. Nelson, John Mellencamp, Neil Young thing, which that's another plug I should make for Neil Young, his archive site. He's releasing a whole bunch of shows and some old recordings too on an amazing site that he has. Pretty big Neil Young fan.
Yes.
But I think that's why they added him to the mix of those is because, you know, Dave Matthews is, you know, a fairly humble and modest guy. And I think he's done it. And, you know, he's done probably one of the most probably has one of the bit more bigger charitable contributions of that stuff, you know, in rock music today. So I'm not surprised to hear that story.
Yeah, and specifically, I think it speaks to he as a person, because he just it has been doing this forever.
He has been. And, we know his story. He grew up in South Africa, you know, and you know, has a little different perspective maybe on life than the average person. But, you know, he's always puts on an unbelievable show. Last time I saw him was a few years ago at the Great Woods, which we will not call whatever the latest thing is that it's called. We always call it Great Woods, Steve. You're correct.
Yeah.
It's like my second home as a kid. But, I went and saw him a few years ago, and it just, you know, he just turned in from just an ultimate professional performer. You know, he just knows how to do it. I know there's much bigger fans of Dave Matthews out there than me. You know, there's some people that really been to see them a lot, you know, in the past. But, as an artist over the years, he certainly holds a special place in our heart. And his website's just really cool, and he's got a lot of old shows up, just like some of the other bands I mentioned and many more. So hopefully people can check in with who they love and see what they have to offer. Maybe bring back a few old memories too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And close with a food reference, at least for those in the Pawtucket. McCoy Stadium is not that far from here. It's only about 30 minutes. They're doing something that gets me, I give them an A+ for effort. Certainly the Red Sox are not playing. They will be moving to Worcester at some point. But they're starting outdoor dining at the stadium. So go to the plussox.com, and there are specific days that they'll be open. They'll put that out so you can have on the field dining. And I'm assuming it'd be like you get a choice of first base, you know, pitcher's box or batter box, or but to sit on the stadium and have a dinner, that'd be cool.
Maybe the salad's first base.
The rolls first base.
Progressive dinner.
Dinner.
Yeah. Dinner's third base and dessert's home plate.
Something like that. Yep. Yeah. Socially distanced, of course.
Anne-Marie and I laugh because we just have too many ideas, right, Anne-Marie?
Yes, absolutely. That's like, what can we do that?
Yeah. But Steve, you were mentioning this offline about the creativity. We were talking before the show about the creativity behind that and how that's really, I think, what is going to help a lot of people get back on their feet in general, don't you think?
Right.
Clearly. Yeah, that's interesting. Like somebody looked out at that field and thought, we could eat there, you know?
Why not? There's nobody playing
and
there.
Not only thought it, but then put it together to make it actually happen. And that is clearly speaks to the creative.
Absolutely.
And just wanting to do it, you know, wanting to find ways to make things, you know, just a little brighter for everybody right now. So
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I know you've got some other things to do, and the governor's coming up later today with some other announcements. So we'll break some time for that.
Absolutely. No, it's great to be with you, Steve. Thanks, Anne-Marie. And we'll talk to you next week a little earlier than we normally do, but we'll be on the same schedule. So look forward to talking to you. Hopefully we have better news, continued good news next week.
Continued good news and more on the budgets as well. But life goes on and hopefully gets better as we go.
Absolutely.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.